So appointed, he assigned a purpose. So when God creates a person or a place or a thing, he always assigns a specific purpose for that person, place, or thing. And it's invariable. You cannot deviate from it or derogate from it without then breaching or sinning against God's purpose. And so when God creates something, he defines it absolutely perfectly. And there's no doubt about it. Nothing has ever been created by God that hasn't been defined by God. So there isn't anything out there that we don't know. It's been revealed to us. The hidden things belong to God. But the revealed things belong to us. So whatever he has shown us, that's what we need to know. We don't need to know everything. There are many things that God has kept to himself and hidden, which are secret things which haven't yet been revealed. And so those secret things that belong to God, for example, the hidden things of your heart, you don't even know. They're hidden down there even from you. The times and the seasons and so on. So God has kept a lot of things that are for our benefit not to reveal until the time. But everything has a purpose. Now, I want to set up three chairs today, unrelated to what we've done previously. The first chair I want to set up is that God keeps these chairs tied up. All right. This one will be called the First Four Commandments. The first four commandments of the Ten Commandments. So these first four commandments, we call this worship. So what I want to talk to you today is how important is worship to everything that God has done. The most important thing for us as persons is that we worship God. We worship God in a way that plants and animals, rocks and trees and clouds cannot worship God. They all can glorify God because they stay within their jurisdiction. They stay within their bounds. They don't wiggle out. So there is no chaos in the universe. Regardless of what people have thought, the anomalies that are in outer space or wherever are really completely 100% orderly. They're all ruled by certain laws that never change. They're permanent. But with us, we have a freedom, and this is the purpose, and this is why God gave us this freedom. The only reason he gave us this freedom was so that we could worship God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. And then a second chair, which is the other six commandments. There's 10 total. So the other six are related to the second part, and the second part is the love part. This is the worship to God. This is the love to the neighbor. So this one is vertical, going up toward God, where we worship God with all our heart, soul, and strength. And his name or his nature is worthy of that kind of recognition or accountability, where we daily give account to God for what we've thought, said, done, and so on. All the decisions that we make, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will make straight, right, true, your path. So God's purpose then in creating us is that we would live to the praise of his glory. In other words, we would glorify God in a way that a turtle couldn't, or a flower couldn't. They all have a beauty about God, but not an intimate one, not the freedom that you and I have been given when he made us Betzalemnu Kedemutnu, in the image and likeness of God. So when he wrote that on the heart of every single person that's ever been born, or I'll say even conceived, at the time of conception, when he wrote that upon us, he's actually signaturing every single human being that's ever been born into the world, mine. This is mine. This is one that I made, therefore I own, therefore I govern, and so on and so forth. And so that worship, everybody owes to God, whether they're Buddhist or Hindu or atheist or Satanist. It doesn't make any difference. Everybody owes God, the Creator, to fulfill the purpose for which they were designed and shaped to fulfill. So that purpose, I've just explained to you now, is that we worship God, first of all, above everything else, to worship God and to give Him the praise and the adoration and the thanksgiving due His name. Now, every one of us is a worshiper one way or the other. We're going to worship something. But what God wants you is not to worship yourself or your neighbor or your cat or something else. He wants you to worship Him above all else. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not, and thou shalt not. So those first four commandments have nothing to do with the neighbor. They have everything to do with God personally. So it's a personal thing between every individual and God. And that works or operates a complete restraint upon all human government and all human activity. Everything. In other words, because God wants that, everything else has to allow it. And it's impossible to stop it. However, for the last 6,000 years, men have deviated from that purpose. That is the one thing that God has failed to obtain, is that all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, He's actually failed to obtain that. Nevertheless, that's the reason for which He created us, and He won't change His mind. So He's not about to change just because men didn't like it or didn't understand it or didn't want to do it. God is persistent. He is all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-good, all-everything. And therefore, He will have His way. So, and not only that, but He has told us by revelation that it will be a numberless host that will do so. So I hope that some of you, if not all of you, have made this your primary purpose in life, but I suspect that's probably not the case. Even though you believe in it, even though you don't disagree with it, even though you know it's in the Bible, worship is the hardest thing in the world for your flesh to do. No, I'm going to say it even more accurately. Flesh will never worship God. So your flesh will never go to heaven, because even though that was our purpose, was to glorify God while we're on the earth, not to do our own will, our own thing, but to do His will, His thing. That's the reason that He created us. He will not change His mind on that. And He will have His way. So He has made it clear to us that this is important. Now, the second thing is the fruit of that, not the only fruit, but the major fruit of that, is to love our neighbor as ourself. Today and for the last 6,000 years, again, God has failed to obtain that kind of love to the neighbor. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of hostility to neighbors, especially religious neighbors, where religion and violence have been joined together up until this day, this hour, where someone wants to kill you in the name of God because you don't believe right. That is, you don't believe what they believe you should believe. And so therefore, the Christians have done it, the Muslims have done it, the Buddhists have done it, Hindus, and so on and so forth. They have persecuted over the years in the name of God something that God never intended, and yet it's still with us to this day. And although Christians, for the most part, have dissected, have severed from their worship violence, it's not 100%. There still are those that feel that for your good, I need to force you. God never forces what is good, what is right, what is true, what is just. So the thing about our God that makes Him God is that everything must be done freely or He won't accept it. So unless you worship him because you want to, in other words, you have the freedom, but you'll lose it if you don't utilize it for the purpose for which he gave it. So there's only one reason, only one, and that is to worship God. When he told Pharaoh in the Old Testament, told Moses, you go and tell Pharaoh that the people that he now has in his hand are mine, and I want them back now. So it's been 430 years. Time is up. Yep. And so I want them right now. And if you don't do that, I will kill not just your firstborn son, personally, who is a god, but I will kill all the firstborn cattle and all the firstborn everything born in this land. And I will not touch any of the Hebrew children or their cattle or their animals or whatever else they have. Everything will stay protected to prove to you that I am God. And so Pharaoh said, well, who is this God? What kind of a God is it that has a slave people for his people? What kind of a God has he done to take care of his people? Look, he leaves them in slavery. No, I will not do it. I will not do it. After all, these people are my slaves, and it helps my economy. In fact, they're the secret to my economy. Why should we work when we can have slaves that we conquer and subdue under our feet? That idea has not gone away. That idea called tyranny or oppression or despotism, etc., etc., that idea is still current with the world powers today and even in our own nation. There are those that believe that I should force you for your own good, Christians included. I should force you to do this. We should make a law that says you can't do that and you must do this. And so now you have the homosexual laws that are passed, hate crimes. You have then the anti, you know, marriages between a man and a woman. You have all these people fighting and duking it out with violence, trying then to force somebody else to adopt your view of how the world ought to be. And I want to tell you something, that this is not God's will. God does not want you to force anyone to do anything or to believe anything or practice anything. God wants you and me to withdraw from those that don't agree with us, but not to do them any harm. As a matter of fact, to bless them and pray for them and wish them well. Now, this has not been characteristic of the church for the last 2,000 years. The churches have not, for example. The Puritans, when they came to America in the 1600s, early 17th century, they decided to settle in a place called New England. Virginia already had the Anglican church there, and soon Maryland would have a church for Catholics only, and then they would tolerate others, perhaps, but it depended on which group you were. The Anglicans did not tolerate Baptists, for example, would put them in prison, cut off their nose, do something or other to indicate you're not going to stay here and spread your religion here. Scripture. This is a great story, and the Jews are having an argument with Jesus. Verse 17, they say, tell us, therefore, well, what do you think? So they're giving Jesus a chance to give his opinion. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? So here's Caesar. And how many know Caesar has to have some money in order to have the swords and the soldiers and so on from the people? And therefore, he is going to need to trample on a few of my liberties and a few of my rights that God gave me so that he can get the money that he needs to pay his troops and to administrate his government and so on. So the Jewish people are asking Jesus this question because they're trying to catch him. They're trying to catch him. And they know whichever way he answers, he's going to be wrong. If he says, don't pay tribute to Caesar, Caesar's going to be mad. And he's going to be ferocious mad. He's not going to allow it. But if he says, yeah, you should pay, then Moses is going to be mad because the law says don't render unto Caesar something that belongs to God. If God wants worship, Caesar doesn't get it. And so the Jews have always been a separated people, and they're doing it the right way as far as they're concerned, is we'll keep the law. We have laws, and we're keeping them. Now, forget the fact that it's legalistic, outward, external, and not always from the heart, soul, and strength. Forget that for a second, and just realize they're doing their best. If you've ever seen them at the Western Wall, and they're going like this, and you know, they're not saying Allah Akbar. What they're saying is Shalom, Shalom. So it's a good prayer. So the vast majority of what they're doing is a good thing. So why shouldn't they be allowed to do what they want to do? But today the whole world, and this has never changed, the whole world's in turmoil every day. It's on your news, if they show you the whole truth, which they won't. But so you don't know why the whole world's going and chopping heads off and doing all kinds of violent things. And everybody's having a dickens of a time figuring out what's going on. Mm-hmm. And it's almost surreal today because the government seems to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger and owning more and more and more of your assets. And you're in the free country that we are here. You own less and less and less, and you have less and less freedom because you know why? It isn't because the government's so egregious. It isn't because the government is heinous. It isn't because the government is wicked. It's because you did not worship God with all your heart, and therefore God can't defend you from a government that does that. In other words, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he'll give you everything else. But if you refuse to do that, so here's how Jesus answers. So they say, is it lawful? Is it lawful? Is it something that we're allowed to do to pay tribute to Caesar? And they're hoping to catch him. Because whichever way he goes, he's going to get in trouble. And he said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? I'll tell you, he had not read. Jesus was going to get in trouble with these Jewish people because they outnumber him. And he had not read, the good books about, how to win friends and influence people. He just said, he has not learned his manners. And so he said, and it's very direct about it. Why do you test me, you hypocrites? I mean, I don't know. That's rather confrontative. Sounds pretty straightforward to me. It's kind of like Texans. And so then he says this. Show me a penny. Show me a denarius. Give me one of your coins that you paid the tribute with. So a denarius was just a day's wage kind of thing. And so that's the tax. Not too onerous today when we're paying, 40, 50, 60% or something. Anyway, a lot. And did you know when the IRS first started out, they collected 0.5% and everybody was in an uproar? 0.5%? You're crazy. they were angry. And now, where is it? They're aiming for 85%. That's where they're going. That's what's happening right now. And they'll blame the Democrats as though the Democrats did it, but the Republicans want it too. Everybody wants it because they want more money to do more corrupt things and have more girlfriends and more assassins and so on and so forth. So our own government, I'm not picking on them, I'm just describing. Our own government is filled with assassinations, prostitutes, drugs. We do business that we ought not do. We sell to the enemy many times to keep things going. Because it's a lot of us just making a ton of money off of these violent people throughout the world, whether they're Muslim or Christian or Jewish or whatever they are. And so the whole world today has gotten bigger and bigger and more despotic. And I don't know what happened to our freedom. What happened to our liberty? I'll tell you what happened to it. We didn't do what God said. Yes. So watch what Jesus does. He said, show me a penny. Show me a denarius. So they showed him. He said, whose is this image and this superscription? So it had a little face there of Caesar, and it had a little superscription that said, me, Caesar. And so therefore they looked at it and they said, Caesar. It's a good answer. So far, he's not trapped. He's got them, though, on the defensive now. Well, they're Caesar. And then he concludes this. Therefore, then, render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar's. In other words, if that belongs to Caesar, if he's got his face on it, he must have made that coin. Obviously, he wouldn't put somebody else's face. He must have made that coin. It must be his. So give him what's his. Therefore, render. Now, that word in the Greek is apodidomai. Say it. Apodidomai. Apodidomai. Apodidomai means I'm holding something in my hand right now that belongs to somebody else, not me, but I'm in possession of it. And he is asking for it right now. So give it back. So apodidomai means render unto Caesar that which belongs to him in the first place, and you're holding in your hand, and he's calling for it right now. You've had it long enough. How many know it had been 430 years when Moses first spoke to Pharaoh and said, time up, you know, you've had these people long enough, and we don't want, God wants to have his people back now. I have a purpose for them. I want to set them free so they can worship me. And love the neighbor as thyself. And I'll give them their own laws. So the Jewish people to this day are still doing that, but they don't do it with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength. And I'm not picking on them. I'm just simply saying that they haven't done exactly what God said. They haven't paid close attention, because if you read the Old Testament, their book, you'll see that they're always sinning. And their prophets are always telling them, you people are from head to foot filthy as all get out. You're whorish. You're murderous. You're always shedding blood. I mean, you people have never done what God wanted. Your worship stinks to God. How many know that's in the Old Testament? And you can read it over and over again. So God is not happy with his people because they never did what he wanted. That was his purpose, and he laid it out to them. No other nation had God's 10 commandments. They didn't even know how many gods there were. Some thought there was no God. Others thought there might be 1,000. Others thought 1,000,000, and so on and so forth. And then here are the Jews. They say, oh, no, here's the real answer. One God. There you have it. The Lord our God is one God. So let's settle that. So what? Just because you know what's right doesn't mean you'll want to do what's right, and doesn't mean you would do it if you knew that it was right. How many know that people will do the stupidest things? They know something is right, but they still don't want to do it, and they don't do it. So that happens all the time. So even though the Jewish people knew what God wanted, love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, they never bothered to ask, are we? And did you know Christians are the same? Did you know Christians are exactly the same? Do you believe in Jesus Christ with all your heart and soul and strength? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and blah, blah, blah. I just what those kids just said. Yeah, so you can say it all day long, but it's got to be from your heart. That's a little different. If it's from your heart, that would mean I'm going to not only worship God first, but I'm going to love my neighbor, all my neighbors, Buddhists, Hindus, atheists, witchcraft, Satanists, I don't care who they are, I'm loving them. That's the religion that we have. But is anyone practicing it? Well, a few, but for the most part, we haven't had a good track record on that. And so God still wants that. He still wants us to love everybody and leave them alone. Even love Caesar. Don't hate Caesar. Don't get mad at Caesar, a tyrant, a beast, a bad guy sleeping with a harlot and so on. Don't. Leave everybody alone. In fact, what the Bible says, the New Testament, Book of Revelation, withdraw from them, not kill them off. You know, so God doesn't want us to hate Muslims because they chop our heads off. How many know you're supposed to pray for them, forgive them, love them? Well, it's kind of hard to do because you see, you know, what they do. And so you want to not separate what they did from who they are. But I'm going to just tell you something. Jesus died when the Jews killed him. Deliberately, knowingly, consciously. They had to break all their laws to get the guy, but they finally got him and got Caesar to go along with it. And you remember Caesar came out 3 times, washed his hands, and said, look, I don't find any crime in this guy. Not one deserving of death. He double parked his mule one time. Yeah, but that's it. So Caesar wasn't buying, and it says clearly in the New Testament, he knew that they were envious. He knew they were jealous because this guy is going around preaching love and peace, and you know, his followers are not doing violence and killing and so on. So they killed Jesus. Jesus wanted that to happen. He wanted his enemies to go free so he could die for them. As a matter of fact, after they killed him, he said on the cross, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're acting ignorantly. They're acting out of ignorance. I am their Savior, and they're ignorantly killing me. But I forgive them. Forgive them, Father. Don't hold this against them. Because we're not after killing people, bad people, people that don't agree with us. We're after everybody's happiness, including Muslims, including killers and Satanists and perverts and so on and so forth. How many know that we have one or two of those in our own church? We've asked them to not look like one, but they're here. So, you know, you can sin from the inside and nobody can see it. Has anybody ever learned that? You can actually have wicked thoughts inside yourself and then come to church. Hallelujah. You know, and that's okay. There's no problem there because God wants you to love people as they are, not as they ought to be. Amen? That's part of our Christianity. Well, how can you win with that kind of a religion? You can't unless there's a God. If God doesn't back you up, so he just told you what he wants. Do this, I'll give you everything else. Just do this, I'll give you everything else. You want a small government? You want a larger natural order? You want the individual to be free from the state? You want worship to be free from the state? Just worship. I'll give you everything else. So it's very easy to solve the problems. There's only two things that restrain that chair and that chair on the left. Those two chairs are the only things that restrain government. The reason why government's so big today is because we're so small. And the really small thing is that God still doesn't have worship from Christians. Forget the Jews and the pagans and the, you know, the Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and so on. He doesn't have it from his Christians. Let judgment begin in the household of God. So if judgment begins in the household of God, God wants to start on that chair right there, first four commandments. Forget all the rest. Most people don't even know the rest. They don't need to know them. Just know the first one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. How many know that could ruin you right there? There's another, I'm going to put God first and second and third and fourth, and I'm not going to have any other gods before him. So he's not just the only God. He is the only God that's really God. And the other gods are not gods at all. They're just rebellious subjects, no matter how innocent and sweet they look. God doesn't count them. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. Man in his best state, that is when you're really nice looking and you're behaving so nicely and so well, and everybody agrees, oh, she's so wonderful, he's so wonderful. God, it calls that a stench in his nostrils. That thing stinks. He hates it when you do something. He would rather you be cold than lukewarm. If you're going to go with God, go all the way. Don't go at all. If you're going to go with God, don't go part of the way. Don't put your hand to the plow and then turn back. It's like, whoa, where are your oxen now? And so God wants us to go all the way. How many are excited about that idea? Yoo-hoo! Let's go all the way. Why? Because that's what God wants. He's not going to change on that. And he's not going to have a small group in heaven. It's going to be huge, humongous. As a matter of fact, right now, whether you're aware of it or not, he is winning most of the third world, whether it's Muslim or whether it's Hindu or Buddhist, I don't care what it is, the Christians are the ones winning. The Christians are the ones winning. I go all over the world deliberately to see it firsthand. I wouldn't go to China otherwise. I wouldn't go to India otherwise. I wouldn't go to Russia. The only reason I go is I want to see it myself. I don't want to read about it in the book or be told some false report that the Muslims are doing this and that and so on and so forth. I've never seen it. I've seen the opposite. It's the Christians that are flourishing. And every 100 yards, every 100 yards or so, I see another church. It used to be Muslim dominated. Now it's Christian dominated. Everywhere the Muslims want to push down, but they're actually being pushed up and shoved closer and closer into the Mediterranean. A couple of years ago, southern Sudan became a Christian nation, meaning a lot of Christians in it. And the Al-Qaeda said they won't last the first year. And I knew when I heard that, that was a lie. And I declared it. They're not only going to last the first year, they're going to last because it's God that's doing it. And so don't think this is just a man type of thing. The Chinese were behind the Muslims. I mean, they made a deal. And so they should have killed them easily. Millions of Chinese in that part of the world. And with all of the oil money and so on. So it was easy to destroy them, but they didn't. And they're flourishing today. Some of the pastors are friends of mine who actually are in the leadership there. And that's one of the things I like to do is I like to meet the leaders throughout the world who actually love Jesus with all their heart and soul and strength. And there are lots of them. There are lots of them. And I go deliberately to meet them. I've been with Chalupa one-on-one, been with, you know, all kinds of dictators and bad guys and so on. But you actually can get favor with them when you do what God says. If you're a worshiper of God, God will give you favor with man. Isn't that amazing? Why? It's His program. It's not any virtue on our part. It's just I like to go and see it. I like to see whether God keeps His word or not. I don't believe God can lie. I believe to the death. In other words, I'm willing to die for it. I believe to the death that God is God. And I don't believe anybody else is. There's only one God. So what God wants us to do is to serve Him and to worship Him with all our heart and soul and strength and your neighbor as yourself. That is what He's looking for. That will make government become just and small and limited again. So those two things, if you read Psalm 2, you'll see that this first one here is actually the second one mentioned. So I'll start with the second chair. In Psalm 2, it says, why do the nations conspire? Well, why do the peoples imagine a vain thing? Blah, blah, blah. And then they're trying to go against the Lord and His anointed, these two chairs. Jesus, talking about Jesus, the Father and the Son. But then he says, and here's what they say, let us break their iron manacles on our hands. Let us break the iron manacles and get free from them so we the government, can reach out and take more and more of the people of God, more and more of your liberties and rights and so on. That's the first thing government wants, is get bigger and bigger. The second thing is that they have ropes, big heavy ropes, tied to their ankles. And they want to be free to trample on and trespass on and transgress over more and more of your boundaries, the boundaries that have held them in place where they've been small governments, limited governments, like the Americans wanted to set up and the Texans wanted to set up. That it'd be a very limited government. And so we have bills of rights and declarations and constitutions and all that language. It didn't work. Today, we are again limited by the government. The government gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You get smaller and smaller and smaller. So I'm not bemoaning that. I'm just simply saying it's a fact. But here's the deal. You're the fault. You're the fault. Because you, just alone, you don't even have to have two others with you. Just you alone, if you started worshiping God with all your heart and soul and strength, God would make a way where there is no way. All God wants is one. Did you know that there's great power in the prayer of one who's devoted and dedicated to God? I can tell story after story about how in history it's just been one man that was able to overthrow an entire empire. It's not uncommon. It's when somebody gets hooked up with God and decides to do what God originally intended that we were supposed to do, God will protect that person, say, that's mine. That's the one I put my signature on, and now I can defend them. But if they whore around, I can't. If they're messing around, if they're fornicating with kings, I can't do it. So today, the vast majority of Christians, and I'm not picking on anybody, the vast majority are lukewarm. They're not hot. They're not trying to serve God. I'm not criticizing them. I'm just simply stating a fact. Most Christians are, I believe in God, but, got my other stuff too. And so they're more interested in their own agenda than they are in God's. That's nothing. I see what the problem is. The problem is not that these guys are bad guys. The problem is these good guys aren't good. So God has been calling on his people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, will pray, will seek my face, will turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, not the sins of all the bad guys, their sins, my people's sins, and I'll heal their land. So there God has told you. There it is, as simple as Pete. You can do it really easy. All you got to do is go to God and say, God, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm going to start. I'm going to start right here. I'm going to love you with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength if it kills me. Exactly. What an idea that is. Boy, if this kills me, I'm going to try it. Well, of course it'll kill you because your flesh ain't ever going to agree to that. Your flesh is always going to want its own, pound. Your flesh is never going to say, oh, I just love God. No, flesh doesn't love God. It hates him, kills him, crucifies him. So what God is doing is so against the odds, but I believe, Tommy, he can beat the odds.
Amen. Very good.
I believe that with man,
impossible.
It's impossible. With God, all things are possible. Now, how many are here ready today to do what God has said? I haven't even finished the story yet. This is a really neat story how it ends up. How many are ready to go right now?
Amen.
Okay, good. Now, he showed them the picture, and they said, Caesar's. And he said to them, okay, then, render unto Caesar, therefore, what belongs to Caesar. Whatever belongs to Caesar, give it to him. And, comma, to God, those things that belong to God. Why did he add that? Interesting. Because the Jewish people were incomprehensible on this issue. They could not comprehend what he was saying. They marveled, it said in the next verse. They marveled at his answer because they were not thinking that it's our sin that's causing all this Roman problem, that we have to pay tribute every time we go somewhere and go across the Sea of Galilee, we've got to pay a little fee. They didn't think that Rome's overlordship over Israel was their fault. They thought it was the devil or, the bad guys or something. But no, all your problems are solved when you do what God wants. Just get right with God and everything else is solved. So I'm going to ask a question. How many here today want to worship God with, don't raise your hand, but how many want to worship God with all your heart, all your strength, and all of your soul, everything you got in you, to go for God? Why? That's what he wants. So, don't raise your hand. I don't want to see your hand. But I want you to think about that. That's all God's ever wanted. He's not going to change. So I'm just telling you the truth. Here, the truth will set you free. If you will worship God with all your heart and soul and strength, and you can just start with two of you, three of you, four of you, five of you, just one. It doesn't matter. Just start. You could change this world. You could change this nation. You could change this state. You could change this city. You have no idea what happens when you obey the God of heaven and earth. He has all the power, all the majesty, all the glory, all the smarts. He's got everything, resources. He can turn it in 1 second. And he's going to do that. And very soon, the Puritans were too early on this, very soon he is going to have heaven on earth, just like they were trying to build, only they built a hell. It was hell. If you actually read their writings, which I do all the time, if you read all their writings and read all of their judgments and so on and so forth, you realize these people are monsters. And they're Christians. How many know that you have to love them, but they're still wrong? You have to love them. They're violent. They want your head. They want your nose cut off. I tell you what, that when you have your nose cut off, it's hard to smell. It really is. And your ears cut off. The first offense is one ear cut off. The second offense is pretty. You're running out of, elements after a while to you realize, you know what, maybe what I'm doing isn't so clever. And they had all kinds of way of humiliating you in public and making their point is do what we say or else. This is God's will. They put God in it. It wasn't ever God's will. God has never been into forcing people to do what's right. He's into voluntary. He wants you to do with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, voluntarily, happily. I love the church just the way you are. I don't want you to fix up. I love you just the way you are. Monsters. I love it. I love monsters. I love critics. Oh, thank you. Thank you. So awesome. What wonder. We don't even have to go out in the world to find enemies. We got them right here. That's wonderful. Glory to God. And I get a kick out of it. I really do. Praise God. Why? Because I believe the only thing that matters is getting right with God.
Yes.
I think getting right with people is silly.
Yes.
You're not going to get right with people. If you love people, they'll turn on you. I need to say that again. The minute you start loving people, they won't thank you. Their flesh will turn on you. Well, why do you always think you have to help? You know, they'll just turn right on you. And then you say to yourself, you know, it'd be better if I hadn't even tried to help you. Sometimes they're your own children. Sometimes they're your husband. Sometimes they're a wife. Amen, Chad. I don't get any ideas. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Amen. You need to decrease. Amen. Praise God. All right. So God is good. Okay, here's what Jesus said. And render unto God, give him back what's in your hand that belongs to him. What is it? You were made in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, he has his signature on you. You belong to him. Betzalemnu kedemutnu. He made you in his image. Nobody else looks like God. You do. He doesn't look like a bear. He doesn't look like a grasshopper. He looks like us. So he made you in the image and in the likeness of God. Wow, that's special. We're special. That's why we have this liberty here, which no government can take away. To the death. To the death. And so I intend, before I keel over, drop dead, and I'm getting close. But anyway, I intend to have a free church in a free state. I want the state to be small, and I want the worship of God to be big and free so that people can worship God any way they want to. And I don't care that there's a bunch of stupid, bad, evil people. So what? Leave them alone. Just do what you think God's telling you to do. Leave your neighbor alone. Just love your neighbor, pray for your neighbor, bless your neighbor. You don't need to kill him. That's the problem with the world today. Can you not see this? The problem with the world today is you always want to force somebody else to do what's good for them. Well, I'm just doing this for your own good. You know, if you weren't so stupid, but you are, so I have to do this. I mean, no, there's something erroneous about that kind of thinking. Don't be helping people. When you help somebody, make sure it's Jesus Christ and not just you. Amen? Because a lot of naive Christians are out doing a lot of good things, which ain't no good at all. They think they're helping. How many times have you ever helped somebody and it didn't help? You know, you tried. Well, I'm going to go ahead and make a little sacrifice here. Okay. Make sure it's Jesus telling you to do it, not you, because it ain't going to work out the way you think. So when you help people, you're usually not. You know, very seldom does it really. So you better make sure you can hear Jesus saying, I want you to do this no matter what. Okay, then do it. I don't care. Get hurt me, rape me, use me, abuse me. It doesn't bother me at all. I don't care. Why? Because Jesus loves me.
Yes.
This I know. How many know if Jesus takes care of you, you don't need to worry about other people taking care of you.
Right.
You don't need to be treated nicely. I don't want people to treat me nicely. And thank God we have a whole church full of people like that. Not treating me like the way I should be treated. No, I don't care about it. Why? Because Jesus loves me.
Amen.
Did you know if Jesus loves you, you don't need anybody else's love?
Amen.
If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
The Bible says. So when God loves you, I tell you, it's too strong.
Yeah, you love others.
It's too strong.
Yes.
So stop. I'll tell you something else. If you're a people pleaser, ain't going to work. You try pleasing your mother, your father, your pastor, your friend, your whatever, your husband, your wife, your children, and so on. Ain't going to work. So stop it. Stop being wonderful and Jesus-y. Just be you. Just be you. Let Jesus do it all. How many know that Jesus swore? He swore an oath. The good work I began in you, I will surely complete. He didn't say, we're going to work it out. We're going to be partners together. You're going to do part of it. I'm going to do part of it. I'll start it out. You finish it. I'll finish it. You start it. I mean, no, Jesus does not have any partners. When he does a thing, it's perfect. Yes. It's done. It's over. It's complete. Amen. Woo! Yes. So the best has been yet to come. What did I teach you today? Simple. You want to have a smaller government? Don't worry about it. Just make sure you worship God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's your whole duty right there. Don't worry about this duty over here. If you have a smaller, restrained government from these two restraints, Moserati and Boti, if you have a smaller government, all the better. But you're not doing it so you have a smaller government. You're doing it because God said to do it. That's all. It just happens to me that it works out great. So the best has been left to the last. It's our turn now to actually not build the kingdom of God, but let Jesus build it. Amen. Remember what he said? I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He did not say, I will build my church and I'm going to have Pastor Jim help me out. He did not say that. And I can see the wisdom that he had right there. Because I'm kind of like you, Chad. I can mess things up quicker than anybody.
Man, sleeping too.
Let me just help you now. How many know that you're not able to do what only God can do?
Right.
So, when he showed them that, they marveled. Because they never made the connection that it's our sin, not Caesar.
Right.
And the reason we don't want to pay that, you know, hateful tax, tribute to him, is because it's eaten up our, you know, our labor and stuff like that. But the truth is, no, the reason you don't want to pay it is because you'd rather gripe and complain about Caesar rather than worship God.
That's right.
How many here are big gripers, big complainers, big analyzers, big, you know, smart people?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, go for it if you want.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's going to work. I think you better hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to the churches right now. Worship God and Him only. And you know what? You'll end up loving the neighbor. And you know what? No violence. Now you've got the individual free from the state and you've got the church free from the state. Two magnificent things that limit every unjust government and make it just. So let's have a limited constitutional government like our founders intended but couldn't pull off because the church is the key, not the state. Not the business community, not the society. We don't need any help from anybody. We just need to do what God said to us, and poof, it works out. Now, let's have a couple testimonies. Pastor Jim, that was awesome what you just shared from God to us, and I believe it. I'm ready.